Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe, based upon the Word of God, that God's children today will be raptured before the identity of the Antichrist is revealed to us. And therefore, what we read in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 18, about the Antichrist and the false prophet, the two beasts, it will not impact us directly. But all those who are not born again in Christ, all those who will have to go through the final 7 years of man's existence on earth before the Lord's return, known as the Great Tribulation, these will be your world leaders. And this is a description from God Himself of what they are like. However, the Bible did tell us that even though we will be raptured before the Lord's return and before the Lord judged this world, before the identity of the Antichrist is revealed, but the Lord did tell us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist," that is the beast, that's the capital A, Antichrist, "shall come, even now are there many Antichrists," plural, "whereby we know that it is the last time." In other words, Revelation 13 describes what the Antichrist is like and what his assistant, the second beast, is like. Their characteristics will also be the same as all the many small Antichrists that will precede them, that will precede especially the capital A Antichrist. And so if you want to know how to recognize all these many small A Antichrists, and plural, many of them, in our time, in these last days, it is not up to you and me to recognize them based upon our own list of criteria. It has to be based upon God's revelation of what the capital A Antichrist is like. You're going to find similar characteristics in these small A Antichrists or Antichrists. The difference is, the capital A Antichrist with his assistant, the false prophet, the second beast, the scope and domain of their control and deception will be global. These small Antichrists will be localized, whether it is inside a church that is made up of a few hundred thousand or a few thousands, they are still localized. Revelation 13 describes the global leaders of millions and billions of people all over the world. This is a description of the end time one world church, and these are the two rulers. And so as we study these two beasts, please do not think that just because we are going to be raptured, they do not impact us directly. The small A Antichrist, having the same characteristics, they do impact us today. And if we are duped and deceived by all these many small A Antichrists, please understand that we are not truly born again. Because these are messengers of light, angels of light. What we see in these two beasts, you can find similar characteristics in many of these Antichrists in our time. And they are called pastors, and they are called elders and leaders of today's Christianity. So first and foremost, let's look at the strategy of these two beasts. Verse 1 describes the first beast. Verse 11 describes the second beast. The first beast, the Bible says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy." In contrast, the second beast, "I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." The first beast out of the sea. Sea is often understood as something mysterious, whereby the identity of the first beast is unknown. However, that is not the case of the second beast.
coming out of the earth, where man is not afraid of the earth because he lived on earth. And so this identity of this man is much easier to identify. Look at the contrast. The first beast is fierce, is ferocious. Please note the distinction between the word beast used here in chapter 13 in contrast to the word beast used in other earlier chapters of Revelation that describe the beast. Basically, that word describes angels, living things, serving the Lord in heaven. It's a different word that is used in chapter 13. The word beast used here describes ferocious, wild, dangerous animals. And this is how God looks at the kingdom of men. Now, if you recall the book of Daniel, when the Lord gave to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2 the dream of a huge statue, where God described the statue being made of different precious material, gold, silver, brass or bronze, and then iron. These are the four materials used by the kingdoms, starting with Babylon, where gold was their dominant material, followed by silver, that's the Medo-Persian, and then brass or bronze, that's the Grecian Empire, and then finally Rome. Their preferred material was iron. They used it for their swords and their shields, and that was the hardest known material which enabled them to conquer the world in very, very quick measure. And they represented these four empires. And this is how man looks at his own empires, in its own glory, in its own distinction. But Daniel chapter 7 described the similar empires. And this time God used beasts to describe them. God used the lion, the bear, and the leopard. The lion to describe the Babylonian Empire, the bear to describe the Medo-Persians, and the leopard to describe the Grecian Empire. Why the contrast? Because from man's perspective, man always boasts of his own greatness and his own empires by the many monuments that they would build for the world to remember them by. This has not changed. Today's empires are the same. They build great buildings and tall buildings. They want to be remembered that they have lived, they have done something to impact the world, not realizing that everything on earth will be destroyed by fire by God himself. These kind of foolishness is what the Lord wanted human beings to realize and remember. You think you are great, you think you are powerful, and that's how you look at your empires. But God says, you want to know how I look at your empires? All of you are nothing but beasts. Wild beasts, ferocious beasts. Why? Because every empire came into existence after the slaughter of thousands and thousands of fellow human beings. Was that not how the Assyrians did it? The Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Grecians, the Romans, the British, the American, all of them the same. And that's why the Lord says, you are all nothing but beasts. And likewise, when the Lord looked at the final empire of mankind, led by this ferocious beast whom God called the Antichrist, against Christ, a very unique title. Very unique, because he's going to be like Christ. He's going to imitate Christ in everything that he's going to do to deceive the world, as you can see from verse 1 to verse 10. What is described here is very similar to what the Bible described Christ did for us at his first coming. But this beast will imitate what Jesus Christ did for us, and he's going to be promoted and presented to the world as the Messiah. And this is a very ferocious beast. And anyone who will go against him will be killed. He will be a beast that rises out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. A very powerful ruler, a very complete ruler. And he's going to rule the world, and he's going to rule by force. And then his assistant will be the opposite. And so the strategy is, on one hand, very ferocious, very harsh. On the other hand, his assistant, he will be very tender, very soft, very peace-loving as far as outward appearance is concerned. And so the Bible described the second beast as I beheld another beast, another of the same kind, ferocious, wild, dangerous, coming up out of the earth, 2 horns, but like a lamb. So he will have the appearance of meekness in contrast to the first beast, 7 heads and 10 horns, very fierce looking, very ferocious, as you can see described for us in verse 2. And so you have the contrast. The strategy is deliberate contrast. One very ferocious, and those who are not afraid, he will frighten you to submission. And to those who remain not afraid, he will cajole you, he will soft-spoken, he will speak to you softly, gently, trying to convince you, why don't you submit? These are the benefits, these are the blessings that will come when you bow down to this beast, who will call himself Christ. Please understand this, that's why the Lord called him Antichrist. He will be against Christ, but he will call himself the Messiah. He will use the name Jesus Christ. He will present himself as from God. This is the strategy. The hard approach, coupled by the soft approach, in order to win the world over to the dragon. Because here you have the strategy and the source behind the power of these two men is the devil himself. And the beast which I saw, verse 2, was like unto a leopard. He will have the swiftness of conquest like the Grecian Empire, because the leopard was used to describe the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great. Unstoppable. The bear, the Medo-Persian Empire, very carefully done, powerful, and it will succeed. The mouth as the mouth of a lion, very ferocious, very fierce. And the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. So he will be energized by the devil himself. The God of this world will promote him. The God of this world will use him. And what will he be used to do? To direct the worship and the adoration of millions of people on earth to bow down to the devil, making them think they're bowing down to Christ and to God Almighty. That is the agenda, that is the strategy, and the devil is the source. And they will succeed, because the Lord tells us it will succeed. The first time they failed, but not the second. And look at verse 12. And he exercised, that is the second beast, all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, both of them energized by the dragon. The words of the second beast may be soft, but the Bible said he will speak as the dragon. That means the content of his words will be devilish. But the delivery of the message, very soft, very sweet, very delightful. It's not going to be harsh. It's not going to be loud like the first beast. But both of them will have the same source, the dragon himself. And that's why this second beast is also known as imitating the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so the three of them, the dragon representing or misrepresenting God the Father, the second or the first beast, the Antichrist, misrepresenting the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the second beast, misrepresenting the Holy Spirit. Just as the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, came to promote Christ, the second beast is to promote the first beast, the Antichrist. And so what we have here is known as the unholy Trinity. The agenda is to imitate, to pretend, to fulfill scriptures. And if you do not know scriptures well enough, you're going to be duped, you're going to be deceived. And we have already seen so many of these small antichrists around, where they're going to use the name Jesus Christ in worship. They're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in worship. But all you need to do is to evaluate what they say, what they teach, and what they do against the Word of God. And you'll be able to discern, and you'll be able to see through them that they are not from God. They are not causing you to worship the one living and true God, but in reality, ultimately, they will cause you to worship the dragon himself. The difference between Revelation 13 and now is the scale, the scope. This global. What you see in all these churches with all the many small a antichrists, localized, one church, one denomination after another. These are the last days, dear friends. And this is not a joke. This is not a game. This is serious. We are talking about eternity in heaven and in hell. And therefore, it is our responsibility to make sure that as individual, that we truly know what kind of church we are worshiping in. Because if you are worshiping a church, in a church where you have all these small antichrists pretending to be Christ, pretending to point you to Christ, you are being deceived and being duped by them. Some of them will be very fierce and very frightening, and some of them will be very soft, very gentle, even very loving. But either way, as long as it works, the devil does not care. As long as he succeeds in deceiving that sinner, that family of sinners, you think he cares? As long as he gets you to worship him, it's either by seduction or by persecution, he does not care as long as he succeeds in deceiving the world. And it is the same today. And therefore, it is a responsibility to make sure that everywhere we go, in whatever church that you come from, evaluate every preacher, evaluate every ministry in that church against the Word of God, because this is the only absolute perfect yardstick that can help you make the right judgment. And you have to. And if you have been worshiping in one of these churches, and I'm talking about the charismatic churches, I'm talking about even some of our own BP churches, no church is excluded in this examination, including ours, because every church can change. With the leadership, it will change. It may be good today, it may not be good tomorrow. Evaluate every preacher, evaluate every ministry against the Word of God, because we are living in the last of the last days where Christianity will fall away. No exception. You like to listen to sermons on the internet. You like to visit some of these sites that are apparently pretty conservative, like Sermon Audio. Please don't lower your guard. Not every messenger or preacher uploaded there, they are sound and good. You have to evaluate them on a case-by-case basis. And even if this sermon preached by this person is sound, it may not be true 10 years from now. That person could have changed. This is the last days, and we have to be very careful, because we are talking about our own soul, whether we end up in heaven or in hell or in the lake of fire. That's how serious this is. And you only have one life to live. And every day that you spend in a wrong church is a day that is wasted promoting the dragon, and not Christ, and not the God of this world. So the God of the Bible, but the God of this world. And you don't want to do that. Because every dollar you give to the wrong church is a dollar that is going to extend the kingdom of the devil and not the God of the Bible. And you are supporting him whether you know it or not, that's beside the point. Because you are still guilty of supporting the God of the world that has blinded the minds of the people of the world. It is our responsibility. That's why the last days are very momentous, but at the same time, very perilous. The strategy is the soft approach and the hard approach. Whichever works, and the source, both of them, the devil. Hard approach, soft approach. And how do you know? The Word of God is the key. The Word of God is always the key, the only protection against the deception and the cunning devices of the devil, the Word of God. That's why the devil will never stop attacking the Word of God. Why do you think there are a band of people from the BP side, BP movement, who kept on defending and promoting the Bible with mistakes? They are being duped, they are being used by the devil, and the scary and the saddest part is they don't even know. How can the Bible have mistakes? It comes from the God who makes no mistakes. And yet, there are hundreds and hundreds of people who are deceived and who are duped. And the amazing thing is, they think it's okay. They think it is fine. To believe in the Jesus of the Bible who claims to be perfect, that comes from a book that has mistakes. You know how illogical that is? And yet, they believe. Just like how illogical it is for grown men and women who are very responsible, who are very clever in the things of the world, to open their mouth and speak gibberish, which they have been told, tongues, speaking to God. You don't know what you are talking about. You have no grammar, no syntax in whatever you say. It's just making noises, making sound. And then you are told that you are talking to God. And the amazing thing is you believe. Completely illogical. But the things of the spiritual realm is illogical. Because the mind that is measured according to IQ is completely useless in the spiritual realm. That's why it makes no sense. Why would these people open their mouth and make noises and they are told they are talking to God? You don't know what you're talking about. Nobody knows what you're talking about. And then you believe. This is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. They have been blinded. Likewise, these people who are doing the same when they say the Bible has mistakes. The moment you have a low view of the Bible, what do you think is going to be the conclusion? You will have a low view of God. And once you have a low view of God, you're going to be duped, you're going to be deceived by the devil himself. That's the strategy of the two beasts. And the source is the dragon, the devil himself. Listen carefully to the content of the words, not just the tone. They may be very soft-spoken, but the content, look at the second beast. The words, he spake as a dragon. Two horns with a lamb, very soft-spoken, but the content is the dragon. And look at the sham. Look at the sham, three S's, strategy, source, and the sham. First, verse 3 to verse 10, to describe the first beast. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. You see? Rise from the dead. This must be God. This must be the Messiah. And then they're going to use the Bible to say that there is a prophecy of the Lord's resurrection. But notice the first part of verse 3. Wounded, as it were, wounded to death. Never really died. But he will be presented to the world as if he has died. And the world will see him being wounded. And then the news that will come out, the broadcaster to the whole world, that he is actually dead. And then his deadly wound was healed, presenting to the world that he has risen from the dead. And then the world will be so amazed that this creature has the power over life and death. He must be God. Was this not what Jesus Christ did in his first coming? He died and he rose from the dead. He actually really died and God raised him from the dead. Look at the sham. And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ directs us to worship the one living and true God, the first beast, the Antichrist, will direct the world to worship the one who gave him the power, the dragon. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Do you know that these rhetorical questions are reserved only unto the Lord? Who is like unto Jehovah? Who is like unto God Most High? No one. Who is able to make war against God Most High? No one. These are rhetorical questions that are reserved for the Lord Himself, the Almighty, All-Powerful God Most High. And here, the devil will use this to promote the beast, borrowing rhetorical questions that are meant only for Christ, and they will be applied to the first beast. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue only 3.5 years, the second half of the great tribulation period. And that's how long he will be permitted by God to rule and to reign. Absolute total power over the earth. A mouth to speak great things, blasphemies. How do you and I know they are called blasphemies? Measure it against the Bible. If you don't use the Bible, you're not going to know that they are blasphemies. What exactly is a blasphemy? A blasphemy is anything that they utter that is supposed to describe God, God the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and they are not true. And they are not true. That's how you know it is a blasphemy. It is insulting to God to make him into what he is not. That's why it's called blasphemy. And you and I know what these blasphemies are because we hear them, we listen to them, and we have read them in some of these books. The Roman Catholic teaching, full of blasphemies. The charismatic churches, full of blasphemies. You know that, right? Joseph Prince preach based upon Psalm 133. A very short psalm, only 3 verses. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then the illustrations used to describe the blessedness of this brotherly love, unity among believers. First, it is like the oil that flows down from Aaron's beard all the way down to his skirt, which is used only for the anointing, which is very precious, which is not used so copiously. And then the second is like the dew that comes down from Mount Hermon, life, giving water that will water the entire land of promise. And so brotherly love is life-giving. Second illustration. First illustration, it is precious, like the ointment that flows down Aaron's beard, the high priest, a blessing from God that you and I must cherish. You know what he said? This oil represents the wealth that God wants to give to all his people. Where does the context talk about money, wealth? Nothing. Completely nothing. But then that's what he said. I heard it myself in one of his sermons. I've listened to more than 200 of his sermons for your information. This is not told to me. I heard it myself from the horse's mouth, literally. And then he said that the Lord wants all of you to be rich. That's why the oil that will flow. But look at the sequence in which it will flow. From the top of his head to his beard all the way down. And the congregation is all the way at the bottom. And this is the sequence in which the wealth will flow down from heaven to God's people. It begins with the head. And who are the people at the top? The leaders. And so the leaders will become very rich first. And then it will be followed by all of you. And so when you see the leader living in prosperity, do not be envious. Your turn will come next. And so as long as the leaders are living in poverty, and this is God's blueprint for the flowing of wealth to God's people, and if you do not allow the blueprint to come, and as long as the leaders are not in prosperity, you will not be in prosperity too. That's a blasphemy. Where in the world did it teach that to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be materially prosperous? The Lord Jesus Christ taught us the opposite. The opposite. No man can love God and mammon. Either you love the one and hate the other. The Sermon on the Mount given by Christ himself in Matthew chapter 6. And now this man says, you can love God and mammon at the same time. Love God and love mammon. God wants you to be filthy rich. And so go out into the world and let the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes be your motive, and it is good. It is God's blessing, God's will for you. Isn't that a blasphemous doctrine? Christianizing the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and telling people that to be a Christian means you let the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes be your motive, and don't even allow your conscience to convict you and tell you that it is wrong. That's blasphemy. Jesus Christ came to die for our sins, to snatch us out of hell. He did not die to inflate your wallet and increase your bank account. He did not do that at all. But when he opened his mouth against God, blasphemy is his name, and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And so he will be able to kill many believers during the great tribulation, because after the rapture, thank God that salvation was still made available through the witness of the two witnesses that God will send, and one of them will be Elijah, and they're going to do miracles, true miracles, to counter the false miracles that will be very prevalent in those days, as you can read from the sham of the second beast, because the Bible will describe him as doing a lot of miracles energized by the dragon. So the dragon can do false miracles, and they are supernatural, and they are real miracles, as you can see, miracles that are real, but the source is not God, the source is the dragon. To neutralize, to counter the true miracles of the two witnesses, one of them, Elijah. And that's why when you read about the ministry of the two witnesses doing many miracles, why is the world not turned to Christ? Because there will be the false prophet doing a lot of counterfeit miracles to neutralize the true miracles of the two witnesses. And furthermore, salvation is of the Lord, is not by seeing miracles, as Elijah up on Mount Carmel testify and reveal to us. Be that as it may, the last days are fraught with a lot of perilous and dangerous times. And all that dwell on the earth, verse 8, shall worship him. So the Antichrist will succeed. All that dwell upon the earth. That's why the capital A Antichrist, the scope is the earth. The small a Antichrist, localized in a church, it may be numbered in the thousands, but compared to the whole earth made up of billions of people, they are nothing in comparison. And whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so anyone who is duped by him, he is not born again. And don't be duped by the small Antichrist. Just as those who are duped by the capital Antichrist, they are not born again, even though they may be believing in the Christ, the name Jesus Christ, that is not according to the Bible. The name Jesus Christ will be used to describe this first beast, energized by the dragon. That Jesus Christ is not going to save anyone. Just like the many Jesus Christ of today, as prophesied and preached by the small a Antichrist, is not going to save anyone. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You have to endure to the very end. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise, even you have to stand alone. Now look at the sham of the second beast. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, miracles, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man, just like the two witnesses, to challenge them, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. They are going to promote this beast. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And so for the first time, an idol will speak. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so anyone who is a child of God who refuse to bow down, they will be killed. They will pay for it with their lives. And so many of them, as you can see in other parts of the book of Revelation, they will die and they will be taken up to heaven in resurrected body. And they will be in heaven with all the raptured saints. And they're going to sing songs that they alone are able to sing, because they have power over the beast, the Antichrist, because they held on to their faith even unto death. And the Lord described them as victorious. Now, this is the reality that awaits those who live through the Great Tribulation. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to what? To receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. What exactly is this mark? It will be so clear and so obvious that the moment you have this mark, you are not a believer, because you already have the mark of Christ. It is not something innocuous. Some people talk about this chip and so on and so forth. It has to be so clear that the moment you have this mark, you know for a fact that you are not a child of God, whatever this mark might be. So that it will be very clear, because the Bible is always very clear to tell us who is and who is not a believer. That's why the Lord gave us so many clear evidence of someone who is truly born again in Christ. And no man might buy or sell except he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name on him. And here is wisdom. Let him understand. Count the number of the beast. It is the number of a man. His number is 666. What exactly that number means, no one knows. And so let us not speculate. But one thing is for certain. It will be the mark of a man pretending to be God. And the beast, the second beast, will promote the first beast, who in turn will promote the dragon. Just like the ministry of the Holy Spirit will promote Christ, who will point us to the God Almighty. Now, these are the last days, dear friends. And this is a description of our future on this earth. And therefore, this world is a hopeless world. Everything that you own will be owned by the first beast. Everything, without exception. Your house, your bank accounts, everything will be owned by him, because without his mark, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't do business, and you cannot buy things from anyone. Nobody will dare to sell you anything, because if they do, they're going to die. So please do not put your hope in the world. Do not plan as if this world is going to help you. This world is not going to help you at all. This world cannot help anyone out of death, out of hell, except the Lord Jesus Christ. Your only safety is in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're going to be duped and you're going to become a pawn controlled by the first beast, ferocious, and the second beast, very gentle. That's the strategy. Either way, it will work. And the source is the dragon. And look at the sham that they have employed. Very, very biblical, very, very similar to what the Lord Jesus Christ did, the first beast will imitate. What the Holy Spirit did, the second beast will imitate. And that means by their imitation, by their sham, they can even use the Bible to support that what they are doing is biblical, unless you know the scripture enough, unless you are truly born again in Christ with the Spirit of God dwelling in you to open your eyes and to see the deception of these last days. The capital A Antichrist, his attributes, his characteristics, his methods, they are similar to what you're going to find in the small a Antichrist of our time. Remember, the difference is the scale or the scope of their control and the deception. The capital A Antichrist, it's the whole earth. The control of the small Antichrist, their local church, their denomination, even though they numbered in the thousands. Do not allow the number game to deceive you into thinking that because so many are there, so many probably must be correct. Look at the Bible. Most of the time, those who follow the Word of God, they are always in the minority. Do not use democracy as the basis to evaluate what is right and wrong. Just because you have the majority does not make it right. Let the Bible, the Word of God, be your yardstick to measure and to discern, because we are living in the last days where many antichrists are already here. And I pray and hope that the church that you are attending is not controlled by an antichrist or antichrist, because if your leaders are all energized by the dragon, they are all antichrists. Look at the characteristics. Some are very fierce, some are very gentle. Listen to the content. Listen to their teaching. That's the only way you can discern. If you have been in these churches, those years that you have wasted will never return to you.
but find the courage within your heart to come out so that the remaining time that you have on earth before the Lord soon return will no longer be wasted anymore. That's what it means by redeeming the time. Don't waste anymore, not even 1 minute of any day. Get out. That's the only way to save yourself, your soul. And if you are a father, a husband, save your family as well. Evaluate your church using the Bible and make no exception. And make sure that everything in that church is done according to the scriptures, and you must know enough of scriptures to evaluate accurately and biblically, because otherwise, you're going to be deceived. That's how powerful the deception of the last days will be, because majority of them will bow down to the beast and ultimately the dragon. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But make sure that the Jesus Christ you have believed in is the Jesus Christ of the Bible, not anyone. Just because the name Jesus Christ is uttered, you have to make sure that it is the Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. That's how the Apostle Paul described the presentation of the gospel 2,000 years ago. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 15. According to the scriptures, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. According to the scriptures, Jesus Christ lived and was buried, and he died and he rose from the dead for our sins. According to the scriptures, it has to be according to the scriptures. Otherwise, you are still in sin and you are still bound for hell if you were to die right here and now. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins, period. No other addition, no other subtraction, no other motive. Don't believe in the Jesus Christ who died for your sin to make you healthy and wealthy. That addition of health and wealth will turn that gospel that sounds correct into a false gospel that will not save, because your motive is health and wealth. And that is an unbiblical gospel that will not save anyone. Last days are momentous, but also very perilous. The Lord could return at any time. The younger you are, the more likely you're going to experience the rapture if you are truly born again in Christ. So live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop living for the world. Let your heart and your motive be a holy witness to promote Christ and not to promote self. Everywhere you go, whether as a student or whether as a working adult or whether as a homemaker, whether as a retiree, whatever time that you have left, promote the Lord Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. And make sure, first and foremost, of your own salvation, that you are not in a church that is led and ruled by the Antichrist. Know the characteristics. Beware, be warned, be wise, and be saved. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, out of thy holy word. Open our eyes that we might see. For truly, we are living in the last days where Christianity has fallen away. Help us, therefore, O Lord, to understand the signs of the last days. For many churches, many Bible colleges, many seminaries have already fallen. Help us, therefore, O Lord, to know God's word thoroughly, completely, so that we will not be found wanting because we have not been deceived by the many antichrists that are already in this world. Before the final great antichrist appears, help us, O Lord, as thy blood-bought children to be discerning, to know the last times are before us, and to understand the fulfillment of the last day's prophecies, where many false Christs and false prophets will arise, and if it will be possible, they will do great signs and wonders, even if it were possible to deceive the very elect. Help us, O Lord, to be wise. Help us to be circumspect. Help us to be good students of thy holy word all the days of our lives, so that none of us in this sanctuary may be deceived by the evil one through the many antichrists that are already living in this world. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. Give us strength and courage to not only know what is right, but to do what is right, so that whatever time that we have left on this earth will be lived to the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures. For this we ask with thanksgiving, In Jesus' name, amen.